Past players, past legends, past legends.
Let's be honest, Macca did contribute and came, and Stewie Jew was causing a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
And that way, I admit, it was just a relief when we won that prelim final. I was very confident. And I reckon Macca was fantastic with that next week. No, do the crime, do the time. No, we're not going to try and do anything stupid. We're not caught bullshit. No, I was guilty. Move on.
Yeah. I remember at the start of that grand final week where there was a lot of noise made about taking legal action and getting the lawyers in. And I remember being pulled into a meeting with, with Rody and Macca and a few of the other leaders. And Macca I remember him standing up and just saying, nah, this is not happening. We're just moving ahead. We've got a job to do, and we're not going to, sway from what we have to do. So, as always, Macca's team before himself. So, it was no surprise, really.
And so you kept any different nerves with being captain, acting captain for the GF at all halves?
Yeah, more for the media, I guess, you have to do, which you're just not used to, I guess. So, being thrust in the spotlight a lot is probably not an area that, that I jump up and down trying to get. So,
no, it's not you.
So that was, it was a bit daunting for me, but an honour at the same time. And there's always, even when I did the next year, I was co-captain with Macca and then I took over for him. I always thought it's such a hard act to follow because, I've played with one of the greatest captains ever. I was a totally different captain to what Macca was. So, I guess you've got to do it your own way and not sway from that.
And, of course,
hang on, let's just go back a second there. You've obviously come over from Victoria, you moved on from St Kilda, come to Norwood, you finally get to play in a grand final. You've talked about obviously being the acting captain, but what are your memories of the day itself in the way that, obviously everything transpires a little bit differently on grand final day? Was there a sense around that everybody, that the job needed to be done?
Yeah, I think my most vivid memory started the day before at the parade. And I remember we getting introduced and just looking across to the Port team and then looking at our team and thinking, we should be okay here. We should go in with a really, a bag full of confidence. So, I could see that our players had that look too, that we were. And there was we had that all season. We were very confident in what we'd done. We had a couple of hiccups along the way, but we didn't really sway from what we did. And Rody was really good in keeping us on track. So, that day before, and then the day of, it's a bit of a blur, but there's certain moments that I really remember. Overall, it's hard to recollect everything, and because it's such a big day, and even afterwards, it went on for hours afterwards, and just seeing so many people back at the parade I'd never seen anything like it, so it was unbelievable.
And that night, so upstairs with you that night, and I vividly remember Robert being blown away by how many people were there. And he said, "Hey, we wouldn't have got any more than if St Kilda had won." He generally couldn't believe it, and I may have had a fair few at that stage, Pete, and I may have said, "Look, pal, you might be the best footballer in the country. We don't really give a stuff about that. Where in the hell is your bloody better half tonight?" And he had a bewildered look, and you burst out laughing, and bewildered. You'd obviously had more than a few at that stage, and he sort of looked at. What the hell was that? But then he laughed. So it was amusing in terms of that regard too.
Yeah. So there's a couple of stories there. I remember him being a bit overawed by and taken aback about like meeting Macca, and I think Aishi was there.
Yes.
I reckon he was going around getting autographs off, you know, some of our players, and I think he went to get Macca's autograph, and Macca just laughed at him and said, "You're kidding, aren't you?" So, but that as the funny thing is that weekend actually doubled as his Bucks weekend. So
okay.
So he'd booked that weekend thinking that or hoping that we'd make the grand final, and it did. So and he just come off the 97 grand final loss the week before to the Crows. So he'd had quite a big week, and then he'd had his Bucks weekend. So, and the Saturday night before, he'd gone out, as you do on your Bucks, and had a big night and gone home and crashed back at the hotel. And as your good mates do, they managed to lift his mattress and carry him out of his room into the elevator, down the elevator, into the foyer, and leave him there to sleep in the foyer. So he woke up the next morning with a young family checking in, looking at him. So in just his jock. So yeah, he had a big weekend. So I was surprised he was still, you know, coherent.
No, he was fine still, actually. And I thought it was, look, I thought he showed, in all seriousness, I thought he showed a hell of a lot of character. Look, and obviously showed you two are pretty close, and the Harvey family in general, very close and very football orientated family. But I thought he showed a hell of a, I thought it was fantastic that he was there. It could have been easily enough to go, nah, you know, I've had a gutsful of footy, we've lost the grand final, I don't want to be around. But no, he was fantastic. Yeah.
Sorry, I've lost you now.
Yeah, no, sorry. I just thought he was fantastic that he was there.
Sorry, Malcolm, I can't hear.
Something's gone. Can you still hear me now?
Hello.
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 I can, you're very, very dim.
He's just mucking around. Pete's trying to do something here.
That's better.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. I just thought he was fantastic to be there, that he could have easily put it in the two-hard basket. Nah, but I just think it showed the closeness of the Harvey family and, you know, very footy-orientated, obviously. And, yeah, I thought it was great that he was there.
Yeah, he always showed great support for me in my footy. I even remember, I think, when I did get delisted to St Kilda, I think he rang Bernie Quinlan, who was coaching Fitzroy at the time, to see if I could, you know, get a pre-season out there. So, you know, he did look out for me, which I'm grateful for. So, yeah.
You both sort of stole my thunder a little bit there. I was going to ask that, obviously, Robert losing the 97 flag and then you winning the SNFL 97 flag, was there a little bit of a rivalry there between brothers going, you know, I got one, you didn't, or was it a case of don't poke the bear?
You know, being a staunch Saints sport at the time, you know, it was hurting me just as much when they lost. So, yeah, it was a hard one to take. And I remember because we had the prelim final the next day after that AFL grand final. And I remember waking up the next morning feeling drained. And I know I didn't play that well in the prelim final. And maybe that had a lot to do with it. Maybe I was just mentally drained from watching the grand final the day before. So,
And so then 98, we sort of blew it a little bit. And then 99, grand, we'll keep moving. And you go whatever direction you want here, halves as well. So with 99, you were carrying injury. Sponge, Scott Rodney Doreen started on the bench carrying injury.
Yeah.
And we knew that we were right on the edge of hitting the wall. And ironically, probably Scott Rodney should have come on a few minutes earlier, as it turned out, because he dominated when he came on. But I reckon Rody did that really well, coached well. And, you know, we were a Lenny Pascoe mark away from a bloody spoil from Tom Carr, from Roger Jones, from winning the flag, mate. So it was a bit of frustration there.
It's such a fine line.
It is, isn't it?
You know, back in those days, there was no rotations off the bench. So, and like Scotty would have been, you know, in the starting lineup, you know, if he'd been fit, but it was just, you know, when do you bring him on? You know, I went in with a hamstring tear. which I think I thought lasted a half or so. It was such a great final series for us. Like, we came from fifth, and you know, we just got over the line on a couple of those games.
Oh, that's that, right. Yeah, the Eagles
game. We weren't expected to win. Yeah. So I think we went in with no expectations. It wasn't there was no pressure on us. I think all the pressure was on Port. So, and we were sort of riding that wave of winning a few close games, and we're up and about, and a Norwood Port game at any time can go either way, and it's always a lot of feeling in them. So, it was a great game. I haven't watched it back.
I've never I've never watched it again either.
We'll add it as part of this this interview. We'll add a little bit of it, but not much.
I can confidently say I've never watched a Norwood losing grand final. I made myself watch a grand final I coached in again. It's the only time I've done anything with that, because I wanted to see.
So you're saying if anyone out there wants to torture you, tie you down and make you watch a losing Norwood grand final.
Or the 96 prelim.
So I might have been in hospital in the 96 one, crook, and a radio came off second best halves, and this nurse sprinted in thinking I collapsed. And football is that all. And I was certainly wasn't her favourite patient at Burnside Hospital. So, yes.
Now, in amongst all of that, you played a couple of state games. What years were they, mate?
I think my first one was 96. And that was to WA. I think I played on the bench for the first half or so. But I do remember that game was at Subiaco, and Jason Miller was in the state team that year. And he, for the first half, and it was really wet, and he just dominated that game for the first half and set up our win. So he... I know I live with him, and he's a good mate of mine. But gee, when he was on, he was
bloody good. Unfortunately, he wasn't consistent. But geez, when he was on, he could.
When I started playing, when I debuted at Central in that season, he played at centre half back. But then, then he got moved to centre half forward for that first half of that season, and he, deservedly earned that state game because he was dominating at centre forward. So, if he just had a little bit more luck.
Yeah,
I think,
he got a few head knocks as well. Yeah. Yeah, he was a bit unlucky.
And he had a few injuries, a few knocks. So, he's a talented kid.
And
the other state game was in 99.
Okay.
So, that was at Victoria MCG. So that was another wet game. So it was a good experience. We had a young Matthew Pavlich playing for us.
And you did win the Foss Williams medal half, so you must have gone okay that day.
Well, funny thing is I did start on the bench again, but I didn't have to sit on there for too long this time. So I think I lasted 15 minutes on the bench and then came on and managed to get a few kicks. I kicked a lot of points. I remember that. I didn't kick straight. But we got over the line. We had a really good team that year. Some really good players.
And you talked about Rody obviously being majority your coach at Norwood, apart from Neil Craig there. What are some of the takeaways from Rody?
I think one of the good things about Rody, he just didn't beat around the bush. He just kept it simple. And it was very black and white. Blokes knew what they had to do and knew their role. So nothing was complicated. And he did have a really good relationship with the players. So there was that respect both ways. So, I've had a couple of coaches in my younger years that, tried to overcoach a bit, I think. But he knew that the line of that, a fine line and a good balance of, when to let the leaders do their stuff as well. So, he was quite good at doing that.
And who were your coaches for the state games?
The state game?
Mm.
I had Alan Stewart.
Yeah, pretty well regarded.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Can't remember the first one, sorry.
That's all right. How about the winning, how much did winning the Nord Best and Fairest? You know, so by that stage, you've been at Nord for a while and you sort of realised the history of Nord Footy Club because that's something you always took an interest in. How much of an honour did you regard that as, Halves?
Yeah, that was a bit overawing at the time. I guess I'd been there, what was that, 98?
Yeah.
So I'd been there 95, 96, 97, and I'd come in the top four each year. And I actually didn't think 98 was my best year. So I thought I was quite lucky to win it that year.
Okay.
But, yeah, it was a great honour. I think I had a better year in 97, but, you know, you're competing against Jarman McIntosh for votes there. So, and I did miss, I think I'd missed the first seven or eight games of the 97 season and came second to Jars. So, but that 98 season, I guess it was a bit disappointing in terms of where we finished and how we finished. So that's what I took away from that season, and winning the Best and Fairest was a great honour, but it would have been great to be able to do that in a season where, you know, we were contending.
Okay, so 99, so we've lost the grand final, 2000 and 2001, playing under the great man in terms of Neville Roberts. What were your thoughts there? Because I admit I'm going to come in pretty strong at the end of 2001. I'm going to come in there. I turned up the Red Leaf Club that night and I was quite angry because we'd had a lot of injuries and I didn't think we lost the first semi, but I didn't think we were that bad or anything. And I thought Neville was a bit ostracised that night. And I just thought in terms of the administration that night, didn't treat a Nord great with the respect he deserved. That's how I felt. What did you think in terms of playing under Neville, mate?
Oh, I've got nothing but respect for Neville. Yeah. He backed me into the hilt, so I owe Neville a lot. He was probably not the most personable coach, like one-on-one, but like he did garner the respect of the group, and which I really admired. But I know there was a few times when people were doubting me as well, even as captain. So, and Neville was like stoic in my defence a lot of the time. So. I thought he was great for me, but he mightn't have been good for some of the other players. But like I said, I loved him.
Yeah, I admit I'm very much in the Neville Roberts camp there. And, of course, then your last year, as it turned out, you played under Macca. So you played with him and all that and then playing under him. Bit disappointing that we lost the prelim final. What did you think there, mate, as well? And just.
Yeah, you go from Neville to Macca to like greats of the club, but two totally different coaches. Like Neville was like very intense and, I think some players may have been like really scared of him, but whereas Macca was a lot more nurturing. I think he knew every under 19, every reserves player. So he was there all the time, and he would work so hard. The players loved having Macca there, and what he offered to us. So, but I think the bad thing for Macca, the timing for him to coach at Nord wasn't the right time.
Nah, it was a bit early.
So we were in a off field. We were in a bad state.
Yeah.
We'd lost a few players. So. And it was just an unfortunate timing for Macca.
Financially, we weren't great. No, yeah, there were a few off-field than murmurings.
We lost the club rooms. Financially, we were struggling.
And so did your body just basically start to tell you that was it in a lot of ways?
Yeah. So I remember the start of the, what would that be, 2003 season? So I, in a trial game, did my ACL.
That's right, yeah.
So had to have that whole season off. But then I started the next season, I ripped my pec off the bone in the gym, of all places. And then, so I didn't come back till about round six of that season. So, and my first game in the reserves, you know, 15 minutes in, my knee collapsed on me again. So,
yeah,
so it was either have another reconstruction on the ACL, and they said there was no guarantee they could get it any tighter, or that was it. So,
how's that influenced life since in that way, Harves?
Oh, greatly, yeah. Because I love playing footy and I love playing for Nord. So I actually moved away. So I moved up to the hills.
Yes, yeah.
To get away from footy because I knew I couldn't play. So, yeah, it was a tough time.
And you've stayed there basically ever since, haven't you, Harves?
Sorry?
You've basically stayed there. You're still up in the hills now?
Yeah, still in the hills. I only thought I'd be in the hills for a year, but I loved it up here. So I did go back to Melbourne for 3 years and lived in Carlton with a young family, which was a great experience. So, and then, but we're always going to come back to the hills to live with a family, the young family, which is a great environment for the kids to live in.
Did coaching ever cross your mind? I know you said you wanted to get away from it for a little while, but after you had got away for a little while, did you sort of contemplate maybe doing some coaching?
I always never wanted to be a head coach.
Yep.
But I always thought I'd be more valuable as a mentor to kids and to players. So I've been involved with the Onkaparinga Valley Footy Club for a few years now. So, and I'm an assistant coach in the A's. And either been assistant or fitness coach for the last five or six years. So,
and how's your I probably didn't explain the question as well as I should have. How's your knee affecting everything now in terms of you did so much damage to it? Is it, what are you like?
Yeah,
I was limping one night at a meeting at Nord, and Barta said, what in the hell have you done? So, Barter, just because you happen to be good at footy and I happen to be shit ass, injuries don't differentiate, you know, and that sort of thing. And, yeah, and my knees, like, I can't even walk up and downstairs now. So, yeah, it's frustrating.
Yeah, I actually thought, because I really still wanted to play, so I actually tried to play a few games later that season up at the Bulldogs up here, and only lasted till the second game, and then it gave way again. So, after that, I could run okay.
You're in front of me, Harves.
But yeah, just like twisting and turning, it was no good. So I still have a lot of trouble with it today. But I got actually a couple of years after I finished playing, I got diagnosed with a bad hip. So, and I always see our old club doctor, Jeff Verrill, Chopper.
Yes, Chopper, yep.
So he diagnosed that I would probably need a hip replacement at some stage, and I'd do well if I didn't have it before I was 50. And I'm now 51 and I still haven't had it, so I've managed to get through okay without having that done yet. So it's some days it's good, but some days it's bad. But it's all part of playing footy, I guess.
Let me guess, the colder ones are a little tougher than the warmer ones.
Yeah, that's more on my knee, yeah. My hip doesn't seem to like matter what the weather's like. Some days it's good, some days it's bad. Some days I might do a lot on it, it might be good. Some days I might do nothing and it might be really bad. So it's just pot luck with that one.
Yep. And so you're trying to think your lad's name?
I've got two boys, Henry and Will. One, Henry's 20 and he plays just at Onkers.
Yep.
And Will's under 18s at Onkers, but he's also on the 18s list at Norwood.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
So he's played a couple of games down there, which he's loved, so.
And thoughts, so the Harvey clan are certainly well and truly entrenched. It's actually interesting how many of you guys have ended up staying, like you, Dodge, Sponge have ended up staying.
There's a good group of that era, they're still here. So I actually caught up with Johnny Cunningham on Sunday.
JC his
daughter plays up at Onkaparingaville in the Open. So, James Tyson. There's been a few.
Jason Paul McCormick Miller.
Moved back. Yep. He's in Melbourne now. There is a good group still. Robbie Neal, he came over. He's still here.
Yeah, so. Scratch is very heavily involved in footy in general. Yes, a previous guest on the show.
Absolutely.
So, righto halves, we'll go through best players you played with. You are allowed to say Robert too. Best players you played with.
And you can pick a few. You don't have to nail one.
He actually doesn't make my top 10.
Okay.
Oh, no, actually, top three. No, so I think Lockett was the best I ever saw.
I thought he would have to be number one. I'd agree with that. Yep.
Yeah. So, and my number two would have to be Nicky Widmer. Like, he was just the most gifted player I ever saw. Some of the things he'd do, even at training, just blew me away. So, and number three would have to be Macca, Gary McIntosh.
Yep.
And following on from that, your hardest three or four opponents that you've had over the journey?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I can't remember many I played on. I did manage to play a couple of AFL games, and I played on Paul Couch, Brownlow medalist at Geelong. He was pretty good. I remember I played a trial game on Nathan Buckley. He was pretty good too.
Yeah, he could get a kick. He went all right.
Yeah, but in terms of the SANFL, I had a few run-ins with a few Port players along the way. They were always pretty tough to play against. It's hard to pinpoint one. I thought Rick McGowan, in my early days here, I thought he was a really clever footballer. Robbie Ress was one when he played at Port.
Probably Weathers really a bit.
Fast and flashy.
Weathers and that with Sturt.
Even Osborne for down at South.
Yeah,
he was really handy for a real little guy, but he had some skill.
Greatly appreciated halves. A pleasure. Always Sir Anthony. It comes back the name after your. I think I've called you ever that since '97, too, mate. Greatly appreciated having you aboard, mate. And look forward to catching up soon, halves.
It's been a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.